Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Since 2005, he's been the co-founder and mission spreader of Immerman Angels, which connects a person/family with cancer to another person/family who's been through it. Since 2018, he's also been the co-founder of Clothes Talk, which is an online clothing and apparel company that produces and sells high-quality, made-on-demand, charity-branded apparel for nonprofit causes. His name? Johnny Immerman. And we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Wasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Wasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a shining example of a person who combined success with significance, Johnny Immerman. Johnny, welcome, an honor to have you.
Jack, great
finally
to see
we
you.
Get you. Finally you. We get you.
Sorry for my shenanigans getting back to town.
All right, let's start with your childhood and raised by your mom, please.
I pretty much was raised by a single mom who's wonderful. She's been there for every sports game, everything I've ever done. My brother and I were all really tight, fortunately. She lives here. And, you know, I grew up here, went to college in Michigan. And then moved to Chicago, was in Chicago for about 15 years, and I've been in New York now for 3. But there's nothing like coming back to Detroit, seeing this city and all the energy and new restaurants and just people coming together, a mix of people. I feel the energy. There's no doubt.
You are the energy. All right.
Likewise.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom?
Biggest thing I've learned from my mom is probably kindness. My mom is one of the kindest people. She's like the least aggressive person, maybe. One of the least aggressive people I've ever met. Time is probably her biggest love language as a mother. She just was there every minute. Pretty strict, you know, growing up, but I think I needed it, definitely more than my brother. I wanted to test the limits a lot more. But kindness and being kind to other people. She's volunteered. She's been the head of Mother's Council at my high school. She volunteered for Junior League. She was always involved in community and helping others and just being a kind person. I think that's probably the biggest lesson she's taught my brother and me.
We have a lot of single moms out there. Talk to single moms about tough love.
Tough love is important. As I look back, Jack, like all the times that I was frustrated when she told me I couldn't do something or I got punished for staying out an hour past curfew as a kid, you know, things like that. Everything I look back, she was right. And so hopefully to any single mom out there, you realize it's, you know, you kids need tough love. I mean, I needed it. I don't know where I would have been without it. So I appreciate it. I think it kept me more on a better path. She also taught, I think, my brother and I a lot. And that's tough love, too, of like working hard. Like you have to have a goal and you have to be doing something. There's no sitting around. There's no, like, you know, you don't have much downtime in our family. But I think that's also tough love. Like a parent should, you know, teach kids that, you know, you have to, whatever it is, whether it's creating art and sculpture, whether it's being an investment banker or starting a hedge fund or private equity, whatever it is, being an architect, but you're doing something.
And speaking of which, you got a psychology degree from the University of Michigan and then an MBA in management from Wayne State. But then you joined this little fledgling company called Merrill Lynch.
I did.
Looking back 25 years later, what did that 2 years teach you?
You know, I worked with a group of guys over there that taught me a lot. And they were good to me. I worked hard. I learned. I sort of learned at that time at Merrill Lynch and then UBS that the finance world just wasn't enough for me in terms of what I wanted out of life. And, you know, not to jump ahead unless you want to, but, you know, getting diagnosed with cancer in my mid-20s right around that time taught me the biggest lesson of all, which was you can do impact and social impact work full-time, which, to be straightforward, I never considered working for a nonprofit, starting a nonprofit, like doing it full-time. I thought that was for after-work hours, nights and weekends, Saturdays, you know, give back. Those are the lessons taught by my mom. But I look at life differently when you go through cancer for 2 years in your 20s and you realize, you know what, you may not live to see 30 years old, so you better do what you care about, what seems the most important right now.
We're talking to Johnny Immerman. We'll talk about the transformation of his life. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Johnny Immerman. Johnny, it's a Saturday night. You're in Ann Arbor. You're playing pool. You're 26 years old. Please.
Yeah, Jack, I was 26. I had a few friends from high school that were in grad school in Ann Arbor, a couple MBAs, one in law school. And I drove up for the night. I was living in like Bloomfield area, drove up to Ann Arbor, went to the gym that morning, played basketball. I felt totally fine, nothing out of the ordinary. And we're at a bar in Ann Arbor, right on Main Street, shooting pool, having fun, three guys, three girls, nothing out of the ordinary again. And all of a sudden, the worst pain of my life flipped on like a light switch. And what it felt like was someone violently took a knife and stabbed me in my left testicle. Excruciating pain. And it turned on like a light switch. I dropped the pool stick. I doubled over in pain. I literally could not stand. And my friends, of course, offered to drive me to the hospital because I couldn't even stand up and I'm almost crying in pain. But I looked at my friends like a typical 26-year-old bullheaded male and I said, I'm fine. I'll figure this out. I don't want to ruin your guys' Saturday night. Have fun. I'll drive myself. So I waddle out of the bar because I can't even stand up straight. And I finally get to the car and I put my legs up and in there only to realize that my legs are sort of locked in a fetal position because the pain is so crippling and I can't touch the pedals and I'm alone. And I'm like, the only thing I can do at this point, Jack, is I start pushing on my quads, trying to get one of my legs to be able to touch a pedal, to be able to drive the car to get to the hospital. And minutes go by and I finally loosen up a leg enough to be able to touch a pedal, drive the car, get to the hospital. And, you know, doctor runs some tests, sits down, runs his hands through his hair and says, listen, kid, I'm sorry, you're in your 20s and you're alone. I do not want to tell you this, but you have advanced testicular cancer. And I immediately thought, like, I wasn't really sure. Like, what is that? You know, I knew what cancer was, but what is that? And this is right around the time when Lance Armstrong was winning Tour de France. He won his first, I want to say, in 99. So this is like 2 years after that. A lot of people still didn't know who he was.
This is right after 9/11.
Right after 9/11, a month after 9/11. That's right. And so, yes, immediately had to drive home, call my brother on the way home. It's really hard to tell your family that because you realize you're pulling them into a very hard battle ahead and now it's their problem. But went to my mom's house, told my mom too, and then, you know, was treated right here, right down the street at Carmanos Cancer Center, right in Detroit. Wonderful docs here. Great center, of course. And first you had to bank sperm. Most of us are going to be sterile, can't have your own kids. So you got to do that. Then you have to put a port surgically. I had mine in my arm. Lots of times people get them in their upper left chest near the heart, but that's an access. It's a plastic chip, like an implant, for an access point for chemo every day. And then the better part of 6 months, Monday through Friday, 8 hours a day were chemos. So my mom moved in back in with my mom. She was driving me to chemos every morning. Get there like 7:30, 8 a.m., plug in, get your saline, and then three chemo bags in a row. Usually plug out around 5 p.m. It's like a full day. Unfortunately, at the end of all of that, they scanned me. The levels were down. The cancer looked clear. But about a year later, on a checkup, CAT scan, I had four tumors that were there sort of behind my kidneys. So I had to do an 11-inch vertical incision actually through my abdomen in the front. And they had to move my organs out of the way, cut out the four tumors, put all the organs back in, stitch the stomach muscle. And then about when I woke up, I had an NG tube in my nose and about 60 staples up and down. And that was the end of it. The whole thing was the better part of about 2 years. And of course, it's going to change you mentally and what you want out of life. And your timeline, like the way you look at life, I think it's not going to be forever, right? I remember thinking, yeah, if I lived to 30, just a couple more years, that's all I needed, all I wanted at that point.
So it's 24 years later now.
Yeah.
You're in great shape. You are in great shape.
Nothing really works that great, but thank you.
Let's go back to that October 2001.
Yep.
And God talks to you and says, Johnny, you're going to get testicular cancer. Your choice. If you don't want to get it, I won't give it to you. What would you tell God?
I would say, give it to me. I don't have to think about that one, Jack. It's a great question.
Are you nuts?
You know, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. There's no doubt about it. You know, sometimes the hardest struggle is when opportunities are born, I believe, and communities are born. And, you know, I've been very grateful to be a part of this whole community that's now called Immerman Angels. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. It's still based in Chicago. We have 12 full-time people. We have a network and community of over 16,000 cancer survivors across 120 countries. But basically what it was survivors that met at the hospital, a group of us, and we're like, we need to give back. How do we give back? It's our story. It's the knowledge of the journey. It's the little tips, the ins and outs of chemos, what to eat on chemo, what not to eat on chemo. Can I work out? Can I run? Should I run a mile? Can I run 5 miles? Can I lift weights? Like, how much energy am I going to have? Does it get easier or harder over each cycle of chemo? Like, nobody knows until you've known someone who's been there. And so what our community is blessed to be the largest group out there of survivors in the world. And we're all on call when someone's diagnosed with any form of cancer. We're going to hook them up with somebody who beat the exact same type, same age, same gender. If you've got three kids, we want to find a survivor that also had three kids, roughly the same age. If you're married, they're married. If you're single, they're single. Like, find your future you, but been through this journey to say, I understand it from all of these aspects, and they're going to help you.
There's a lot of listeners saying, Johnny, how do I get in touch with you? Well, here's how you do it. www.immerman, I-M-E-R-M-A-N, angels, with an S, .org. ImmermanAngels.org. What is cancer?
Cancer is a couple cells in our body. Every one of us, 6 to 8 times a year, has rogue or damaged cells, right? Cells that just aren't normal. And they start growing irregularly and unregulated growth. And eventually, these groups of cells, which are called tumors, are going to grow big enough to go into our organs and not really attack us. It's not like they have a mind of their own, but they're pushing other organs out of the way. And ultimately, in many cases, sadly, it can kill people. So we all get it 6 to 8 times a year. But the immune system is built in all of us, you know, unless you have a deficiency, an autoimmune disease, but built to stop it when it's 6 to 8. 6 to 8 times a year, it stops a small group of cells. It does its job. Immune system recognizes them as rogue cells and destroys them. So you never even know it, Jack. Like, you wouldn't even know it's happening in your body. It happens in dogs, happens in humans. So what happens with cancer is when our immune systems are lower and they're not as strong to be able to stop it, like those group of rogue cells continue and go beyond our immune system and they grow bigger and our immune system on its own can't stop it. So I'm a big believer, again, I'm a freedom person, everyone chooses, but I'm a big believer in doing everything you can that's in your control to keep your immune system strong, like diet, that works for you. Listen to your body, exercise, sleep, meditation, lowering stress, all these different things to help your body keep its immune system able to keep us safe.
We're talking to Johnny Immerman. 60 years ago, we never heard the word cancer. When we come back, we're going to ask him, now it's everywhere, why? And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Johnny Immerman, who's fabulous at a young age at combining success and significance. Okay, Johnny, today cancer everywhere. 60 years ago, I never heard about it. There's 20,000 Americans each year under 20 with cancer in America. Why?
It's a great question, Jack, how many people are diagnosed and why the numbers are trending up, especially with that population. We call that population the AYAs, the adolescent young adults. And why is it increasing higher than any other demographic? It's the young adults and the peds, the kids.
The peds?
Yeah, the pediatrics.
Okay.
When you're around this world for 20 years, you get into the lingo. Sorry to drop that. But the kids, the younger kids, especially the young adults, though, those are the ones where it's the fastest growing new cases. And the question is why. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a licensed professional of, in the medical world. But I've talked to thousands of survivors. I've talked to thousands of doctors. I've talked to thousands of cancer researchers over all these years. And I love picking their brains and always learning. You listen and you learn a lot what they know. And what almost every cancer researcher says is pretty much the same thing. And I believe it. It makes sense to me. The causes of cancer and other diseases too, but cancer for sure, 95% of it is what we do. It's social, it's environmental, it's the socio-environmental piece, what we do. 5% of it are genetics. So you've got to look at genetics. They matter. If you have a mutation like the BRCA mutation, the BRCA, is very, very known now as a cause through research of breast cancer and ovarian cancer in women. Could do stuff in men too, but usually not. It's mostly women. So genetics is a piece, but let's focus on the 95%, Jack. The 95%, what we do as a cause of cancer. If you make that 100%, one whole pie, two-thirds of that is one single factor, which is the largest overall factor cause, which is diet. And it makes sense. It's food. It's water, we're ingesting it, it's going into your bloodstream, it's going to all your cells. I mean, it does make sense. Are we giving our body the fuel it needs to perform optimally, feel good, and stay healthy? Because that's what the cells need. Or are we giving it food that could be highly processed, that maybe sits in a box for 2 years with an expiration date of 2027? Things that don't look like they're food coming out of the ground, because it's been processed or added with 45 different chemicals, right? You have to, again, I want everyone to have the freedom to eat what they want. And I do believe in my heart, everyone's body's different. There's no one diet that's the cure-all, even though research does show overall, generally, the Mediterranean diet is the healthiest. But, and I don't do the Mediterranean diet. I'm a vegan. I'm a whole food, organic vegan. That's just me. It works for my body. So I agree. Everyone's a little different. But there's no doubt diet is the number one overall. So I think we really have to look at that. We also have to look at meditation, calming the brain, staying in peace, slowing the mind down, slowing the body down. I think we also have to look at sleep and exercise. There's no doubt it's correlated with being healthier.
If there's a listener that says, that's all fine and good. But Johnny,
yeah,
I just heard the words. You have cancer. What should I do?
If you hear those words, you have cancer, first, I'm a big believer in being open to your friends and your community around you, your family. it sounds like most people would be, but actually a lot of people are not, because of the fear, or because of they may feel ashamed or just uncertain and they don't want to tell people. But I do believe if you tell your family and you tell friends and you open up about it, I've seen this happen thousands of times, Jack. People care. Friends, they step up. Maybe not everybody, but enough people will step up to help you. So I'm a huge believer.
Johnny, the cancer's been brutal on me. But if I was really honest, I would tell you the loneliness that I have is killing me. I don't know what to do about the loneliness.
If people are lonely and you don't know what to do, you know, that's why we created this organization, Immerman Angels. I don't know how many, 25 years ago, I had breakfast with you down the street here, and we were doing this all as volunteers. And I said to you, Jack, I said, you know, should I do this full time? Am I crazy? Can this be built? Like, can we really raise enough funds to like hire people and do this? And you looked across the table and you said to me, if you love it and it's helping people and you got the ability to do it, go build it. And that's what you said to me. And I am forever grateful, because I remember driving. I was in Chicago and I came back because our mutual friend Mike, you know,
Atchison.
Yes, Atchison, exactly, said you guys should have breakfast and talk to Jack. Drove back, and in the 4 hours driving back from Detroit to Chicago, all I could think about the whole time was, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I started planning out where we were going with our team. And, you know, a small group of people can change the world. We started with a small group of survivors. But that was an absolute pivotal point in my life. And I do appreciate that from you. I'm grateful.
www.immerman, I-M-E-R-M-A-N, angels with an S, .org. All right. Cancer, you talk a lot about cancer and the family. What advice to the family members?
You know, bringing it up to family members allows them a chance to help you. And as crazy as this sounds, some people don't even tell their own family, and they want to hide it and they want to keep it private for whatever reason. Or they might not even tell their office because they don't want anyone to know at work. I'm a huge believer, because I've seen it go every which way over 20 years. The ones who open up oftentimes find more internal peace because they're sharing it with their community. So it's healthier internally. I believe that, lower stress. But it also makes you feel supported. And a lot of people have resources. A lot of people might know a doctor or a nurse or an oncologist that you had no idea that their sibling is an oncologist and offers to help or give some tips. Opening up is the beginning step, I think, of getting the help you need. Now, of course, if you don't open up or you don't know about groups out there, you wouldn't know about Immerman Angels. There's a lot of great cancer groups out there, a ton of them. And we partner with hundreds of them. They all do different things. But the niche of Immerman Angels and why we as a team built this nonprofit was that we felt people, to your question, like me, felt very isolated. And I felt very isolated at 26, and I didn't know any other young adults that beat cancer. And let's find someone like you.
I quote you now, Johnny. The two most powerful words in the world when you are going through struggles are "me too."
That is true, and I want to give full credit to Brené Brown, who said that first. But I love it.
Why?
It's so true, right? With struggle, we want to connect with others who share the journey, right? Others who understand, others who've been there, others who are mentors, who are farther along. Just like you, me coming to you, being like, hey, I'm a kid and I'm in my late 20s. Like, am I crazy to think that this team can build this? But you talk to people who've built things and are older and have been through more and want to share, and you get advice. And I think that's exactly why we created Immerman Angels, because when you're scared and you're isolated and you're alone, somebody that says, me too, I had the same disease, and guess what? I'm doing okay, and I'm happy, and I got a smile on my face, and I have a family, or I have kids, and I love my job, we built a company, whatever it is, that somebody has been through this and is living a good life, because that's really what you want to hear for most people when you're faced with something that you know could take your life.
We're talking to Johnny Immerman, and he's propagated this belief and culture of helping others mentoring for free to 15,000 volunteers. If you want to learn more, www.immermanangels.org. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Johnny Immerman. Johnny, let's change course. It's 2018. You and your brother Jeff start something called Close Talk, spelled C-L-O-Z-T-A-L-K. Please.
Yes, Jack, you know, we started this together because through our work with Immerman Angels, we saw this simply work in Chicago. And, you know, we came up with this scrappy idea as a team. Immerman Angels, we knew if we created more awareness, more sick people with cancer would find us and use for free the program, always free, always will be. And survivors out there would say, wait, this is a system where I can join and give back and share my story and find purpose and meaning and something positive out of my cancer experience. So that's what we did. We're like, we got to get the word out. And we started making cooler t-shirts, I guess is the only way to say this. And we learned because we tried every color you can imagine, every design. People wanted Immerman Angels in black and white. It was cooler, black shirt, white logo. No taglines, no mission statements, no URLs, no company sponsors. That stuff kind of made it like an ad. People didn't want to wear ads. And so we learned, like, if we made it wearable and we spent more money and got higher quality apparel that was soft and fit them well, they'd be like, yeah, I go to the gym 6 days a week. Like, I'll wear that at the gym. That's my gym shirt. Or I'll walk my dog in River North or West Loop and I'll spread the word. And we want people to think you are volunteering by doing nothing out of your way. If you're wearing a logo, a hat or a t-shirt for a cause that you care about the most, whatever cause it is, it could be, you know, Pope Leo the 14th. It could be Mercy Education Project. It could be Kids Kicking Cancer. It could be Feeding America. It could be any of these groups. But like whatever you love the most, wear it and talk about it. And that's what we started doing. And that's how we got to the idea. Let's do that for all nonprofits. So we have about 500 nonprofits.
So the concept is, make your clothes talk for good causes, as you stated, 500 non-for-profits. What does clothes talk require of the non-for-profits?
Close Talk requires no money, not even a dollar from nonprofits, so there's no risk. We give them all the tools to be able to make more effective logo branding, merch, and apparel. So the only thing we require, there's one thing we require, it's not money, but so we don't want to ever hurt them. But the one thing we require of nonprofits is simply that, which is kind of the whole point, they link from their website to the store and web store we build for their apparel. Which is kind of the whole point, that that's what they want. Get them out of the game. You don't have to do your own designs. You don't have to find a designer to do it. You don't have to know which brands are better quality, worn more. Like, we've done the research, which colors. We've done it all. So we're full service. So we have 500 nonprofits. So how it works, Jack, is some of the local ones we work with here are Mercy Education Project. We work with Kids Kicking Cancer in Southfield. We work with... Lighthouse up in Pontiac. We work with a bunch of groups. I mean, there's a ton. I think we have 60 maybe or 70 in the Detroit area. So we partner with them. We take their logo. We don't change it, but we use their logo in a way that we've learned through experience is worn more often. Key to success here is, are people going to wear it out in public a lot? And are they really going to spread the word? Do they really care? So we make an on-demand web store. Anyone can buy a single t-shirt, hat, hoodie, all athleisure wear.
16 different items.
16
black
items.
Black, gray, and white.
That's right. You nailed it.
That's the options.
That's the options. Black, gray, and white. If anyone knows the gym, Equinox Gym, which is, there's one here in Detroit. It's on the corner of Maple and Telegraph. They're very similar in their branding. Everything you go in there is black, white, and gray. Just simple, classic colors. And we've learned that worked for us too. And it works for them, I think, also. So simple, clean, clear. I think guys especially think black is cooler. When we use reds or yellows, like, they just wouldn't wear it as much. Women too, but men for sure. They just do not want to wear it. We want to give them whatever is going to help the nonprofit's brand better by people wearing it more. And we make them on demand. We're also a B Corp, certified B Corp, which is the highest level certification for social impact and also lowering your carbon footprint. We're not perfect. We hope to be one day, but we're good, and that all of our packaging is 100% recyclable. We choose brands that are more eco-conscious. We even make yoga pants that we can embroider with your favorite nonprofit. 90%+ of the polyester is recycled polyester. So we try to be as eco-friendly as possible, but also it's got to be higher quality. It's a little more expensive, but let's make fewer things, let's make higher quality things that people keep, love, and wear for years at last, versus nonprofits sadly traditionally pumping out at a 5K, $2 t-shirts that might not be cool and they're not comfortable. So what do people do? They throw them in the landfill. Like, want to stop nonprofits from doing it themselves, because oftentimes that's not their core competency and they end up creating things that just get thrown out.
At breakfast, I told you that Slovak saying that my parents taught me, Lesenia Davakrat Platsene. Literally, that means inexpensive, twice paid. But the way they explained it to us on the south side of Chicago was, Jackie, we are too poor to buy cheap. We didn't buy often. But when you bought a piece of clothing, furniture, you buy quality.
Yes, 100%. I mean, I love that expression. I'm sure you told me that. That's a great expression. I mean, it's so true.
You've stolen it many times since.
Thank you. I appreciate that too, because it is true, right? Things that you want to last, it's better for you, but it's also better for the earth, right? Like, why are we producing things that are going to break down in 6 months and they're never going to wear it? It just ends up in landfills. It's not good for any of us.
www.closetalk.com. Johnny. You're still very young, great shape. You are an old soul. At the same time, you have a childlike attitude and outlook on life. How do I get that?
Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know. You know, some people might not think it's that great, but I definitely do have a youthful side to me. I mean, fortunately, having your own company that's an athleisure company, you end up wearing athleisure all day, because that's our whole point and our mission is to wear things for causes, but it's casual wear, right? But I do think staying young, staying around younger people, most of my friends in New York are in their my 30s. I'm 49. Most are 30s. I got some, one of my mentees, sort of, but he's a close friend, is 23. And this kid is like Doogie Howser. I don't have time to tell you all the stories that this kid's creating. He's built a nonprofit. He's doing great things. He works in a sustainability company. He's so intelligent. So hanging out with younger people, I also think mentoring, just in general, whether it's cancer or younger people, keeps you young. I do try to stay young. And just take not take life too seriously, right? I'm that's just kind of been my personality my whole life. And, you know, I don't want to be stiff. I want to enjoy life. And I want to be around good people that also are a little more laid back.
One of the greatest gifts you can have is the gift of gratefulness, to be grateful. 100%. You have that 4-star as well. How do I become grateful?
Yeah, gratitude is key. And again, everyone's different. I think it's a great question, Jack. How do we all get there? Obviously, if you've had a near-death experience, cancer, one of them. I've got a buddy in New York who was unbelievable that he lived through a car accident, was in a coma. Got another friend in Phoenix, almost the same thing. And these guys, it's amazing what these guys do to try to build things to help other people. It's oftentimes the lowest point we reach, our deepest struggle, facing death in the face. And then you see these people come out and want to find purpose and meaning, kind of like the Immerman angels, right? Like, we want to find something positive, but through the mentoring or through the building something to help others, I think that's where the gratitude lives. You look at something like AA, I can't tell you how many dozens of friends I have who are former addicts and are in recovery. And what they do to be sponsors, because somebody helped them through AA, the 12th step says, you can't keep what you don't give back. You know, powerful, powerful stuff. So I think always looking to give something back in community keeps you grateful. And just for me, if this helps anyone, I gratitude prayer every morning. And I pray every morning, gratitude prayer. I don't ask for things, no asks. Even though I want Close Talk to change the world and it's nowhere near where we want it to be, I don't ask for that because I want to focus on all the things I'm grateful for and meditation. So those are the things I hope that help people find peace and gratitude.
Johnny Immerman, friends, once again, a shining example of a person, a young person, who's combining success with significance. I admire you.
Grateful for you, man.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Grisullo. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.